Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 155, episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, fuck J.K. Rowling, fuck fondant. Do not put fondant on my wedding cake. I want regular buttercream.
We will not be married.
Yes, I will. Fondant. I will end this shit right now. We say fondant here, Aristotle.
It's pronounced fondant, though. I'm just for people who might be listening and know like and a lot about cakes. Yeah, you might get a lot of hate mail.
Whatever it is, I don't want icing stuck in my teeth. Okay. It's Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Never gonna give it up. Never gonna take me down. Corona gonna get around and hurt you. Gonna make all y'all cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Your grandma's gonna die. And then you... That is courtesy of J Music Chicago, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Thank you very much. In the White House, I'm having a real good time. I feel alive in this world. I'm turning upside down, yeah, and floating when you cough and sneeze, so don't stop me now. Don't Fauci, cause I'm having a good time, fucking maskless, sneezing particles on Chuck Grassley's head. What are you, 80,000 years old? Homie, good luck with that.
Okay, so that AKA brought to you a little bit of collaboration on this one from Christy Yamaguchi Slane and inspired by at Emmy Del Fart. Elise Middlefart. Okay, your name is Middlefart and I'm turned into a whole other name. But shout out to y'all for that. And we love a queen, AKA round here. Hit me with a Counting Crows round here, AKA somebody.
Round here. I don't know who that queen, AKA perfectly, I feel like, replicated the energy of our president just getting ramped up off them.
Oh yeah,
off those good.
Fine, baby.
That they give out at Walter Reed. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the professor of pronunciation. Apparently, he is Mr. Aristotle Athiras.
Thank you guys.
For coming on,
thank you so much for having me. I know you guys were trying to get me for a few years, and I know that I've haven't been available. I don't know who contacted. Was it my people or my people's people?
I think we had wired the funds into that account. They gave us the email address to then contact your management. So,
and that was how that was a
so
year
you got
and
in
a
touch
half
directly
ago.
With my
That was a year and a half ago. They said, "Okay, how about season 155, episode 3? He might be able to. Looks like he has a free morning."
And you stuck to your word. Well, so thank you for that. Thank you for honoring
it. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. I checked the. You know, usually like in my writer, I always have like a little random like weird thing.
Right.
Just so that I can go and see if they
paying attention.
If you guys fulfilled it.
I know. Yes.
And you guys did it.
Yep.
The red bike on the wall. So thank you
the
for that.
The red bike. Yeah.
It was expensive.
Behind you. It was very expensive.
Yeah.
Whew. But I just, you know, I just throw that in there as kind of like, if I come to the show or the job and then there's a red bike on the wall, then I know they fulfilled everything.
Exactly. Right. And that's, if anything, we like to respect our guests to the utmost. So
thank you.
Yes. No, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Is everything okay so far? Just if we can get you in, just want to make sure that's good. Are you comfortable?
Are you comfortable?
Yeah, I mean,
Like, are we making you comfortable?
Could I be more comfortable? Do I have that option? Or
well, certain. I mean, if it fits within reason. I mean, we
this
did
bring me back to my days in the service industry. And
yeah, when I had to set up fucking dressing
what
rooms.
What kind of service?
I mean, oh gosh.
Worst waiter of all time, and butler, which is is just a bellhop in a British hotel.
He was a butler.
We could talk jobs.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, and I promise you, more than I'll put money on the line that I've had more jobs. I would say probably than both of you combined.
All right, man. It's not a competition. It's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
It is a No. It is a competition.
Okay.
Definitely more than Jack. Possibly more than both of you guys. So yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's a competition.
Okay, well, we'll write them down later.
Why are we?
Okay.
No, fuck it, Jack. Let's just spend the next hour rattling off our jobs. Let's
definitely
go with the first one you've had.
I had the same job for 10 years, so you've definitely have more jobs than me.
What if you deal different kinds of drugs? Does that count as a different job?
Yeah, exactly.
I think so.
Okay.
Different industry.
Yep. Okay, we're good.
All right, Aristotle, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Sure.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to check in with our dear leader now that he is immune. We're going to see how all that is going. We are going to check in with the nomination, the SCOTUS hearings for Amy Coney Barrett. We are going to check in with voter suppression. That's full effect, baby. We are going to check in with the youth of today. We're going to look at the iPhone 12 that was just announced yesterday morning. And Cops has been canceled and then uncanceled. They were just like, psych. We pretended to do the right thing, but y'all can eat a dick. But before we get into any of that, Aristotle, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
The last thing that would be in my search history is vintage Timex watches.
Mm. Vintage Timex watches.
Like searching for vintage Timex watches.
How old, like what's vintage? How far back are we going for vintage Timex?
For me, it would be, I'm just trying to find this watch that I had as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I think about this watch a lot. So this does speak to kind of who I am. I'm a little bit of a nostalgic kind of guy, maybe to a fault. So I'm trying to not be as much, but there's some things that I kind of never was able to have or as a kid or things that I remember from my childhood that I wanted to get back. So to answer that question, this would be like something from like the mid 90s.
Okay.
What
is
it? Something with Indiglo?
Digital?
Or? Yes, it was Indiglo. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, the Indiglo back?
I was there, baby.
Yeah.
I had the Indiglo fucking wristwatch. And when you started saying that, I was like, damn, I remember my first Indiglo.
Right.
And I fucking, I was over the fucking moon when I had it because it was so fucking bright. And I was like, let's check this shit out. I'm in a movie and I'm ruining it for everyone.
Right.
the thing I remember was, back then when they were talking about Indiglo, like the myth around it was like this guy used he had an Iron Man Timex watch and the 93 World Trade Center bombing it was enough to help guide people out of there through the smoke and shit.
It was
the origin myth of the Indiglo and great marketing.
That's amazing.
Do you remember the Indiglo watch, Jack?
Yeah.
Or you just didn't care about, you didn't give a shit about time when you were a kid?
I didn't give a shit, man. I was just off in my own world. No,
I can say shit on here, right?
Yeah. Okay. You can say
only in relation to watches.
I'm a little older than y'all, so I was like a Swatch boy.
Oh.
80s Swatch.
With the super thin one?
Yeah. The funky designs, funky
yep,
backs.
Yep.
And I know you're a shoe guy too, Aristotle, which
I am again,
nostalgic piece of childhood that we all chase.
I didn't really have I had one pair of I take that back. I had two pairs of Jordans as a kid only because it was like I could only have I could have my birthday gift whenever I wanted it, but that was it for the year.
Oh right.
And I would kinda like
cash it in,
save up birth. Yeah. So I would save up on birthday gifts because my limit was always I remember as a kid, it was 50 and then eventually it was like $90 or whatever. So I would hold off a year or two. and then be like, I want these Jordans. And I kind of went strong. I ended up getting two pairs, and then I got to like a very like a heavy metal phase as a kid, and I was like, these are dumb.
Oh,
yeah. I got rid of.
So what'd you rock during your heavy metal phase? Were it Chucks or what were you?
Doc Martens.
No, it is Docs. Yeah, Doc Martens.
Wait, which Jordans
did you have?
I had
some Chucks too. The eights were the Aqua.
Oh,
eights.
Yeah.
Oh
man.
And then so in retrospect, I feel like if I had started. Oh, and then the other ones were the 11s.
Oh wow,
that's the other.
You turned your back on 11s. Wow.
Man, I turned my back on the 11s not because of the getting into metal and punk rock. It was really because of a friend of mine. She would make me feel like I was like, because I held on to those 11s for a while, because they were the first time they had ever retroed them, and so when they came out, I just couldn't get them at the time. So then whatever. Anyways, she just made me feel like a child for having these Jordans, and I was like, I guess you're right. She was such an influential friend, and I was like, I guess I'll just sell them. And then I sold them to some guy on eBay, and he hustled me for them. And then,
you hate to see it.
I think I sold them for like $120 or something.
Wow,
they had never been, they'd barely been worn.
You know, don't yuck other people's yums, as they say.
Seriously, what she was
let
making you feel
bang.
Like a child, like because it's like consumerist or.
No, because it was like very...
It's like a baseball card
she said,
or something?
Yeah, she's like, you look like you're in middle school wearing those.
Oh.
And I was like,
I
don't want to be in middle school.
Oh my, objection, your honor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But now I have a real sneaker problem.
Yeah.
I have too many. So we are thinning out the collection.
But it is funny. I mean, I guess it is true in the sense that I'm like, yes, I am wearing the shoes I wanted as a boy, and I am like being able to live that out. But either way, these fucking shoes are fire. So trying to argue with this outfit.
There's like I'm not into collecting the toys that I wanted or like the underoos or like whatever the underwear was with like He-Man on it. Like that's not what I'm into. But the shoes I think are just dope. Like I think the design is like cool.
Oh
like,
yeah, they're
it
one
still
of
holds up.
Come on, guys, we don't got to defend. We're among friends here. But also, don't come for the underwear because the underwear is pretty cool too. especially you can find a dead stock unopened. You know, that's a flex.
Yeah, you don't want.
But
that
don't bend it because it'll crack. Even though it's dead stock.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want. Just, you can tell because that cardboard that it's wrapped around when you pull that out,
if it's
creased, it's trouble. And I'll call you
it's
out.
It's trouble. Yeah.
Right.
Could you imagine like you trying to sell like a dead stock pair of underoos and then the guy's looking at it, and he's like, "Yo, man, the card's creased though."
Yeah, I don't know. Dude.
I can't really. I can't. Oh, and this is a.
You sure? This is.
Yeah, this is
verified on StockX.
Yeah, but this is from lot 40, so we don't fuck with anything.
I'm gonna have to post this on Reddit and do a legit check, man. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah. Can I get a legit check on these underoos?
These are reps, bro. I'm gonna be mad.
We had an article from a woman who made her full time living selling her underwear on Reddit. So I mean
a lot of
thing.
People really
Yeah. Pretty dope. Out here hustling, finding a way.
Definitely not dead stock.
I think I have
though,
to pay
know?
People.
That's the opposite.
Yeah,
different
this
kind
is the
of
opposite.
Sure. Yeah. Alive as fuck stock.
They will send those back to you.
Active.
Dead stock. Active culture. What is something you think is underrated, Aristotle?
7-Eleven nachos, I think, are
hell
underrated.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Love that. Love
this
that for
great.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're off to a rip-roaring start
know,
today,
man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This man.
We're 12 years old in here.
it's not just the 7-Eleven nachos. It's the 7-Eleven nachos with the the Coke Slurpee, and then you kind of get a little weird with some of the topping.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. Something's like really. I mean, I'm sure it's not underrated. I'm sure a lot of people are like, man, those are fire. But I mean, like,
I gotta get
I
think I gotta get a big bite or a spicy bite hot dog sometimes.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And put all that nacho cheese on there. I have to get weird annually. You know what I mean? It's a make my annual checkup at 7-Eleven.
What are you throwing on the toppings? Like what other than the cheese and the chip?
A little bit of chili.
Wow.
Little bit of onion. Depending on what 7-Eleven I used to go to, like when the 7-Eleven that was like close to my school, because I had to, I went to a school outside of my district, so I had to take like the public transportation to get there. So that 7-Eleven was in a very, you know, it was in a more cultured neighborhood. So they had other toppings like pico de gallo or like tapatio and all that stuff. So that 7-Eleven had like more stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the 7-Eleven close to the house was kind of more generic.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's like mustard. Yeah.
Mustard fine. And cheese, that would work.
It might work. That's not a deal, but. Jalapenos are big. That's when I became a grown up, was when I started putting jalapenos on my 7-Eleven nachos and my popcorn. That's a thing.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they do that back east, but out here you can get jalapenos with your popcorn. And they are, it's coming from a vat that like might as well have people's like old socks in it.
But oh, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no kidding.
It doesn't
matter
because jalapenos are so spicy, they kill off all germs, is what I have, is the math I did in my brain. can't make me sick.
That's so funny.
Parasite I got.
What is something you think is overrated?
I don't know. This is going to sound so bad.
Uh oh.
It's going to sound so bad.
Oh, boy.
I kind of think school is overrated.
man,
this
is
common
like
theme.
This literally could be coming from me when I was 12. All of these.
This I am 12. I don't know if you guys know that. There's a red bike on my wall. well, I think I just I think when I say schooling, I like for me like I have a real problem with this country having an issue with embracing like vocational schooling. Mm-hmm. Because they do it in a lot of European countries, I just think this like romantic kind of infatuation we have with like this old school style of schooling, as if like it's, you know, this is like a true intellect. Like there's a lot of these things that people are not going to learn, that they're not going to really, you know, it's not very pragmatic in the real world, you know. And so, like, that schooling to me is just, I think American schooling is way overrated.
Yeah.
Way overrated. And I don't think anybody's like, it's the best, because it's not the best if you look at the numbers and everything. But it's just, I just wish the American system would embrace vocational schooling and not look down on it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah. I think that gets at like a very central issue that we have in America, where it's like, there's, especially more recently, because there's no class awareness, there's no awareness that there's any sort of, you know, class system in the United States. There's no like pride around like having a vocational education, having a vocational job. Like that doesn't, it just feels like, and there used to be like in the 90s, like that I feel like there used to be a little bit more pride around like being blue collar and shit. But now, it's just everything has like turned into this like pull yourself up by the bootstraps aspirational bullshit, like monoculture. And I think I think that ties directly into the schooling. Like it's just, that's not seen mm-hmm. as like a way to like be the American ideal.
Yeah. Well, and then even like media, like after a while, it was like, What are you going to be, a construction worker? You got to go to college. And, you know, more and more, it's like, so you can be in the middle class, that doesn't exist. There's like, and so it just like tastes like shit at many different turns, especially now, like considering the debt that it's causing and still like the lack of opportunity to even be in a position to like pay it off in a way that makes sense, is humane, and allows you to also do things like start families and shit. Cause most people are just in a holding pattern because of the debt. But anyway, school fucking sucks, dude. And 7-Eleven
school sucks, dude. We don't need no education.
Exactly, bro.
And
we don't need no education.
Instead of vocational schools, Americans get funneled to for-profit colleges that will scam you out of money and put
or military service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are depressing me right now, man.
You know.
That's what we're here for.
That's why school sucks, dude. I did too much school, man.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false, or vice versa?
Well, look, I'm all over the map here. So What I can disprove is that Batman is a good person.
That's the myth. Batman is a good person.
That's the myth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he's good?
That he's good. That's the myth. Hmm. So that he's
a hero.
Truly fighting for you know, the truth and the justice and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. He's just
I could disprove.
He's a rogue privatized police force that just like goes around doing.
What do you say is an action that he does? Well, point, you know, if someone goes, all right, name, like when they go, all right, name one thing he's done.
That proves
your point, bro. Cause he saves fucking people, bro. And he punches bad guys in the fucking face and shit.
It's one thing he hasn't done, which is therapy.
He got a lot of shit to work through.
That's how I know.
Very basic.
Yeah. Because if he went through therapy and if he was a normal person, like insane and everything, he'd be like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna leave it to the guy who fucking flies. I'll let that guy do that stuff. I'm just gonna, you know, maybe be just rich. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, in a world where Superman exists, the existence of Batman is really makes no sense. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I'm gonna use my money to continue to pick up the slack for the alien, the all powerful alien justice fighter.
Yeah, make that a comic book where like a just wealthy business person just gives all their money away and everyone's like, this is so sick. Look at this. They have everything they want. They're the tightest person on earth. And yeah, that's my power. Generosity.
Generosity. I mean, he's a fascinating character. Don't get me wrong. I could talk about him all day, but he's a crazy person in essence.
Put your heroes to bed.
It is interesting that he always ends up being the less interesting character in his movies, whereas like he should be, you know, they always give like the Joker, the bad guy, will end up being like more interesting. I mean, Batman Begins kind of messed with it a little bit, and like
he's like Seinfeld.
He was the star, but yeah, they always make him the Seinfeld of Batman movies, where he's just like the kind of straight character, and it's like he's like suffering from a number of pathologies that like should
like 100%.
You're like, I like this Batman guy and I get why he's there. It's called Batman, so obviously yes, but you know, without Batman, but there's these other cool characters here too, so
right,
you
know. It's just that I feel like
Batman is such a bad actor and laughs too much.
there's like a depth of, you know, pathos to like at the center of that character that like you can't really look at and still have the center hold of the universe. So instead they, I guess, lean into the characters who can openly embrace the darkness.
Right.
Yeah.
Tight. Let's get some nachos.
Yeah. Jalapenos on top.
Yeah. My parents left me a shitload of money, so it's on me.
Slurpees for everybody.
Let's fucking go.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
Thanks, Alfred, for buying us those cigarettes.
Of course.
And you can keep one of those beers, too.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be kind of shitty if Alfred, being as like such a sweet old man that he is, and then Bruce, if he ended up going that way that you're mentioning, he's like, I have your beer, sir, and your cigarettes, sir.
He truly
becomes Alfred.
Yeah. He's like, he becomes Trump, just like wasteoid, like trust fund person. He's like, thanks. I'm going to be making dubstep beats in here till at least 3 a.m. So keep the Red Bulls coming.
That's so funny.
All right, let's talk about our dear leader. He is immune. He's claiming immunity from
immunity.
He wishes he could claim legal immunity, but he is claiming COVID-19 immunity. He was in Florida a couple days ago with Ron DeSantis, who was not wearing a mask.
No, and why
going around touching rally goers and the president?
It was especially for somebody, you're like, yeah, this guy has tested positive for COVID-19 and no one is saying when they last tested negative or if ever. So it is a bit of a fun thing.
Do you think that it might have been all bullshit to begin with?
I mean, he definitely looked ill and sick, so maybe he's a great actor. I mean, whatever is going on, his behavior still affects everything the same way. But he was, again, he's in front of all these people, tons of fucking people with no mask, and he just lets people know, he's like, I'm fucking powerful, y'all. Got those nachos.
But if you want to get out there, get out. One thing with me, the nice part, I went through it. Now they say I'm immune. I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience.
Man,
it's just there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience.
Wait, what?
I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and everybody. I'll just give you a big fat kiss. No, but there is something nice. I don't have to be locked up in my basement, and I wouldn't allow that to happen anyway.
So he's Joe Namath now. I just want to kiss you.
Oh, man.
I could care less about the country struggling.
Yeah, I'm going to kiss. This is, wow, I feel so powerful. I'll walk in there and kiss everyone in that audience.
I mean, that's what got him in trouble during the last election was the...
But he's starting to be like self-deify. You know what I mean? In a way, I'll go and bless
people. But he's always
been
like that.
Yeah, I know. But the thing, it's starting to take a turn. I was saying into the supernatural ever since he started saying China was a curse and people are monsters. It's less tied to normal political rhetoric. And now it's spooky shit. And I just, this idea where now is he said he had a protective glow emanating from him, which shielded him from the illness and contributes to his immunity. So we're it sounds like Magic the Gathering type shit he's talking about now.
Well, he's talking to the, his very, his base kind of thinks, sometimes they think stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like, it's crazy to me. I hate using the word, but he's so brilliant with the way he talks to his people, and I know he doesn't believe any of this crap. He's doing it on purpose to just to win. This is my opinion. I think, he's really good at exploiting the thing that he is going to help him win, because he's a master manipulator. He really, really, really is. And even in his interviews, you listen to him, I'm just listening to him talk, and I'm like, the guy's not very verbose, and he actually kind of sounds like, and if you look at what he's saying on text, he sounds like a moron. You know
word
what I mean?
Salad.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he doesn't sound like an educated person at all, but a person who's watching that, who's even a Trumper, who I don't know. They just eat it up. Yeah. And I'm just like,
if you're remotely susceptible, it's very it can be intoxicating. And I just think that having 4 years as the president has given reality too much time to bleed into that, so that people are now, his numbers, according to polls, and we'll see if the polls are accurate, but according to polls, more and more people are kind of rejecting that version of reality that he's, it is a harder version of reality to swallow, right? That he got COVID-19 but is immune while other people are dying, and he's claiming it's because of, he seems to be implying that it's something special about him and that they have a cure that he's going to give to everyone. But it's just so the shape of it, not I think you're right that the texture when you're up close and watching it and, at a rally or just open to it and watching him speak, that can be persuasive. But the overall shape of it, if you're viewing it from afar, is so transparently just the snake oil shit. Mm-hmm. It's just we've been seeing this for 250 years.
That's,
yeah.
The, and well, along with that, because all of this stuff is, if he can get enough people to just demand that everyone just dies due to the lack of control over the, like, the virus, then the economy will do better. And that's the main thing, is to get people out there. So if they get, if they can buy in on this, like, immunity, I'm healed narrative, that can start building more confidence for people to just be more reckless and take risks, like we're seeing, like, at these rallies. And, you know, the idea is that, like, yeah, you could get it, you'll be fine, we'll, we have immunities, and that's how we're going to get through this. But now we're getting reports of reinfection, like cases of reinfection in the U.S. It used to be that, you know, everyone was saying, like, well, if you get it once, like, you can't get it again. At that point, you'll have built up antibodies and things like that. But now, in the Lancet, Monday, they issued a report saying this 25-year-old guy in Nevada had got COVID in April and then tested positive again in June. And they were sort of different strains, apparently genetically different versions of COVID. But this is like really, I mean, if anyone who was, you know, buying into this idea of herd immunity, like based on what the Trump campaign was saying, or even what he's saying, like, I've got it and now I'll be okay, this is not good at all. And, yeah, you know, it's, of course, it's not going to be discussed because it's science that makes the other, you know, it's a too inconvenient of a truth.
Did I make this too serious, guys?
You did not. The news made it. The news.
Okay.
This is
every day, man.
Yeah.
As my my favorite YouTube stars say, this is every day, man.
it's every day, bro. Whatever.
I got it right. My reference.
Come on, bro. Oh, man. Fuck, dude. They're gonna kill us in the YouTube comments.
All right. Let's talk about the Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. You know, it's been going on for a few days now. Yeah. Lindsey Graham spoke. I saw some Ted Cruz where he just, like, talked for 45 minutes about, like, how Democrats want to destroy crosses because they hate Jesus, essentially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then just used her two adopted children from Haiti behind her in just the most, like, aggressive, like, prop, like, standing people up as prop way. And I don't know, it was pretty whack.
Well, the whole thing's a fucking disgrace to begin with. Like, plenty has already been said. She's you know, skirted answering questions on things like Roe versus Wade or even gutting the ACA and healthcare and things like that. So, you know, they're doing a good job. You know, the strategy the Democrats seem to want to do is, like, not really go after her more than just sort of being like, this is inappropriate. The president is using this person to, like, act out this, like, really harsh shit, because they don't want to turn her into, like, a victim of, like, their attacks, basically, or allow the, you know, Republicans to start saying that. But, like, Lindsey Graham, who is presiding over this whole process, he cannot stop talking about Jamie Harrison, who he's running against. Jamie Harrison has basically been shattering fundraising records, like, left and right in his race against Lindsey Graham. And, like, he's talking, like, he's alluded to it. And then earlier he's like, I want to know where some of this dark money's coming. You should see the race I'm in. I'd like to know where some of this money's coming from. Maybe I'll have to investigate that. Cause Amy Coney Barrett, where was I? And so, you know, like, he's been at the center of this, because obviously he was the one when in Barack Obama's, you know, in the election year, was saying they weren't going to allow him to seat a Supreme Court justice in election year. He completely 180'd, and he started the proceedings saying, quote, there, you know, because everyone was, like, you know, pointing to what's up with this hypocrisy, Lindsay? Like, come on, this is fucking disgusting. And then he overall, his description of what's going on is, quote, there's nothing unconstitutional about this process. This is a vacancy that's occurred through a tragic loss of a great woman. And we're going to fill that vacancy with another great woman. The bottom line here is that the Senate is doing its duty constitutionally. So the argument being, like, well, it's not a rule we're breaking. So y'all were dumb for, you know, allowing us to do that the first time. So, yes.
So
I don't know. It always feels like this perpetual battle, like, no matter where we are in this country, like, it's just this constant, like, and then I'm talking about, like, the most colloquial, you know, like, thought on this process, because I feel like we kind of go through this, like, this cycle of, like, you know, it just always feels like Roe versus Wade is the thing that everybody wants to, you know,
Right.
It just like this constant over and over and over again, and everything that's kind of within that same umbrella, you know. I don't know. I'd like, at what point, this is part of my, I'm not fully disenfranchised with, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with the country, but you know, I'm getting there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of really hard to kind of,
well, yeah,
wrap my head around like just a constant bickering, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of money fueling the bickering and like making mm-hmm. it this ongoing sort of like culture war thing to keep this base engaged and make it feel like there's stakes and a reason to sort of check in, because like numerically they're outnumbered. So now mm-hmm. like the frontier that they're trying to, you know, make headway on is just being able to completely fuck up the judiciary and just have this, you know, really obscene minority rule at the moment.
It's a republic, not a democracy, is their new rallying cry.
Yeah.
That I think Mike Lee tweeted that recently or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's just, you know, we're seeing it now with, speaking of important Supreme Court decisions, the voter suppression in Georgia is completely out of control. Like there's a lot of people. I think I knew this, but just seeing people from other countries like Canada and the UK and Australia tweeting recently, like that they've voted in every election that's come up in their adult life. They've never had to register to vote, and they've never had to wait in a line for more than 5 minutes to vote. Both of those things are 100% voter suppression, just like enacted to make it more difficult for people to vote.
Yeah, I mean, the Shelby versus Holder Supreme Court decision that basically like eviscerated the Voting Rights Act was just sort of like telling people like, hey, dude, you can do racist shit as long as like you're not putting like full on racial slurs in like your legal briefs. And if you dog whistle enough, we'll look past it and you can get away with all kinds of shit, like taking away polling places in majority black districts and things like that. In Georgia, early in-person voting has begun, and there are lines in some places and not lines in other places. And I'll let you guess what those places are. You know, this first photo we're looking at is in majority white Buckhead, where the wait time is apparently only 15 minutes. This was taken on Monday. And then in black, you know, majority black South Cobb, they're looking at lines of 10 plus hours in like a fucking parking lot that is snaking, like you thought like a fucking new, you know, attraction opened up at Six Flags or some shit. It's so fucked up to see. Like, it just looks like violence to look at the difference in the access to be able to vote. Just something that simple. And this is, you know, again, another visual representation of the Republican Party saying, we will burn this whole fucking thing down. We don't give a fuck. Before, like, we let go of this ill-gotten power that we've manufactured and, you know, formulated through all of this terribly cynical legislation and gerrymandering and shit. And it's weird. I mean, when you look at it, they were interviewing a lot of the people in these lines who were waiting for, you know, many hours. And sadly, or luck, I don't know, however you want to look at it, many of them were like, I don't give a fuck how long it takes. Like, right. I know what the fuck they're trying to do, and I'm not going to let them fucking win. So I will fucking vote. But that's,
yeah,
it should not be the fucking case. And it's just heartbreaking that's, you know, so many, the stakes are so fucking high, yet they're so cynically being like, all right, well, let's see how you do with one fucking ballot drop off location. Because in Texas, that apparently the higher court there is allowing that decree to stand. So, you know, if you want to drop your ballot off in a gigantic county, there's only one place to go, even if you drive 1,000 miles.
I mean, not to be negative, but I just don't think. I think it's going to work, you know, like just the hurdles and the constant, like they're just going to get disenfranchised really fast and then not want to go. I think they're going to be successful and with their voter suppression, and it's worked in the past. That's why they keep doing it. And so yeah,
sure.
It's really kind of like, it does make me feel like, you just can't win, you know?
So, I mean, that's actually a question I have, Miles. You know politics better than I do. Like, if, like, you know, God willing, the Democrats take over the White House, the Senate, the House, like how impossible is it for them to make it so that like all of this shit goes away?
I mean, if their willpower is there very quickly, you know, because you saw what the for when Trump even had everything was about to go off until the Senate, where they just couldn't get their votes together to send shit straight to the president's desk. I mean, if that pipeline's there and everyone has the political will to do it, it can happen. That's why I think so many people are invested in the idea of just a blue fucking wave crushing the Hill and being able to say like, okay, now they can do, we can get a ton of, you know, protections for voters and things like that passed and signed into law very quickly. But, you know, who knows? And then it's going to be another battle because I'm sure just like everything, we'll get a Democratic administration in there and we know what the fucking solutions are, but it ends up being like a 60% or even fuck it, maybe 30% of the way solution to the thing we know how to solve because there's still vulnerable senators or Congress people they have to think about to, that are going to affect it rather than people who are going to be like, I don't give a fuck. Make it happen the right way. Like, I'll put my fucking body on the line. Just fuck. I'm there for the votes. Like, let's get this shit done. But people don't, not enough people think like that. So
because it's too much of a career, you know,
yeah, like absolutely,
they make too much money. They make, you know, there's just too much. I mean, they make obscene amounts of money. You know, it's like you shouldn't go into politics because of, you know, because it's a viable career that you can, you know, earn a good living. It's like, it's literally just something you should do as a service that you feel. I know that sounds
because
very ideal.
Pathological narcissism, right? I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
It's that. And it just, I think as more younger people get into office, it's going to help, you know, like you're seeing how people are just looking at shit differently. Like where our generation is just being like, what the fuck is kind of career is this to be like some old fucking ghoul senator? Like when people are dying
and shit.
And yeah, there are going to be plenty of people who are also in it for that reason. But you can even tell like in the like rhetorically, like how this older generation like just can't match wits with us. Like, because even when Pete Buttigieg goes on Fox News, like he's just even like being, you know, intelligent. They're like, oh, fuck, like he's got us off center here. We don't know how to respond.
Slayer Pete.
Yeah, exactly. And even like with like AOC and like many other the like younger politicians, like they have a way of communicating ideas that I think will energize people and like in a way also make them less vulnerable because they're saying like, I'm voting for this because you saw me break down this banking executive, right? You saw how I did that and how they don't know. That's why I'm voting for this thing. And you can hopefully understand that.
Do you ever look at AOC and just are kind of scared and thinking, God, are you always going to be this good?
Right.
Are you always going to be like this pure, you know?
Well, you know,
to me, that's like the biggest tragedy is to watch her kind of change.
You know, ever since I had, you know, since Urkel broke my heart, I had to learn to not have heroes. So, you know, I just treat them as imperfect humans who are doing right in the moment.
Which Urkel storyline broke your heart? Was it when he turned into Stefan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like a total betrayal for us who weren't, you know, necessarily the cutest kid in the photo studio.
Right.
Oh, you are adorable. I can tell. Both you guys are really adorable as kids. I 100% can tell. I have a good eye.
Somebody just sent me in my text messages like a photo from me in like fourth grade or something where I had a mushroom cut, like surfer cut, which kind of looks like in like vibey now with all the K-pop shit. And right. I was like, yo, yeah. I was like, I look like a K-pop star whose like career was ruined by racism.
That's wild.
I had the biggest fro. Like, I don't know if you could tell.
Curly, oh, wow. You hit it. Oh, wow.
But yeah, my hair was like, because my dad used to always just straight up rock a fro.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I never wanted to be like him. So for me, I was just like, I don't want to have hair. So I tried to grow my hair out as long as I could. And then so I could put it kind of like in a ponytail and be a little bit more like, you know, like heavy metal and whatnot. Yeah. But yeah, like, and then the moment I would let that go, like if I would open it, it would just go from this to like that.
Just like a caricature artist's version of your dad.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because I also used to stuff my hair in hats like this, right, you know, like when I had more hair. And I remember like one time, like I was with some friends And then he goes, "Oh, this is a cool hat. I just took it off my head." And then my hair goes like a jack-o'-lantern, whatever. Right. Not a jack-o'-lantern. Was it like jack-in-the-box? They all just kind of came out. They go, "Oh." And then he was like, "I'm sorry." And he went
back. Just rested it on top of your.
That was so funny.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and talk about less serious shit. And we're back. And Miles, you brought a story about kids being less cool.
Yeah, dude. They're drinking less, bro.
What?
Kids are boozing less, toking a little more, and apparently getting really cross-faded, switching it up, mixing the two, which is kind of actually not that great. So this new study came out. Again, you know, we love a study around here. But they're saying between 2002 and 2018, the rate of abstinence, okay, fucking abstinence among college students, 18 to 22, increased from 20% to 28%.
Hell yeah.
And then for 18 to 22-year-olds who are not in
hell yeah, dude.
If they weren't love in college, it. But in the same bracket, they went from 24% to 30%.
Huh.
So, yeah, which is, and the other thing is more kids smoking weed. That went up from 27% to 31% if they were in college, and then 26% to 30% if they weren't in college. So it was the same thing. But yeah, you know, they're drinking less.
Do you think there's a correlation?
No, some people in this article in the takeout, they were saying that some of the researchers suspected that it could be because a lot of people live with their parents, that it may affect how much they're drinking or if they drink at all, because like they just don't have the privacy to, you know, fucked up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But they're smoking
more weed though.
Yeah, but I guess because maybe you can like smoke weed and then like, you know, get a ton of mouthwash and hit the eye drops and like Febreze yourself and be like, "Yep, I was at church." We were just crying, talking about the Beatitudes. Anyway,
it was so beautiful.
But the other thing is they said that the combination has gone. So this article says points of concern that deserve more attention are the rise in co-use of alcohol and marijuana. As we know that polysubstance use can have more negative consequences and be more difficult to treat. And they're saying that for like in 2015 to 2018, 2.5% of young adults who didn't drink or didn't smoke weed, only 2.5% said they would misuse prescription drugs. But if they were co-users of like weed and alcohol, 25% of them were using. So it's like tenfold difference.
Damn.
So yeah. So I mean, that's true. Like when you're getting, you know, that's true.
Are they saying at the same time, or are they just saying using both, like in general?
Broadly. Probably broadly. And then, you know, thing typically leads to another.
Right.
But I mean, who normally, when you look at your prescription bottle and you're like, "I think I need a little bit more than that." I mean, everybody does that, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know the name on the prescription bottle.
Yeah, you just kind of be like, "This color makes me feel like I think this is going to help."
Having a blue day.
It's Viagra.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Oh, shit. Okay.
High school biology class.
Or it's Adderall.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Adderall would be a pink day, I think.
Is that a pink day? Oh, I thought Adderalls were blue.
Well, I don't know. Is it time release in a gel cap?
Oh, yeah. I guess it's different. Ritalin,
hey, Mr. President, weigh in on this.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
As our president,
I just get up and I just have energy.
Wait, who's chopping
it
up? No, it's way too rocky. You got a grinder for that?
I also wonder how many of the, like, how much of this increases people, like, getting sober younger. I know that that's definitely increased, is like people who realize they have a problem at like age 18 or like before college. You see more of that in recovery, in the recovery community.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, the world has changed rapidly in even fucking 4 years. So who knows what another 4 years from, you know, what the 2018 to 2022 study looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the year for me, but do you know the year for you when you were just like, "Okay, I give up. I can't possibly know all the music that's out there anymore."
Yeah, it would have been 2017 or 2016 for me. It was whatever. Okay. I used to like pick the music for the Cracked podcast that I did. And, like, that was my way, my incentive to stay like plugged into what music was cool. And then like at a certain point, I was like, I'm spending more time figuring out what the music is for this than I am like on the content. I gotta stop.
Mine was a little earlier, probably like 2012. I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I don't.
This is too much.
It's like I gave up on genres, I think, is what happened. Or because I still love music and I do a lot of like exploring of shit because I just love to hear new music. But I remember like when the whole SoundCloud rap wave took off and like I was working in radio and shit. I was like, I thought I was aware of everything that was coming on. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is all this now? I'm like, no, I can't.
I know.
You know what? I'm just going to listen to my Warren G records. Okay. Just leave me the fuck alone.
That's right.
Still a great record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple had their conference where they release what all their upcoming products are. We got their version of Alexa, a new like mini version of that. And we also got the iPhone 12, which also has a mini version. That's like a. It kind of zagged there. I feel like iPhones have been just getting bigger and bigger.
Yep.
Bigger and bigger.
As they said, screens. The smallest, lightest, thinnest, cutest little phone you ever did see that does 5G and will direct George Soros's Antifa wave straight to your brain and give you some kind of thing. But yeah, it's all kinds of new tech. And I don't know. I felt like the fucking new phone. I just got a new fucking phone. And I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing already?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah.
I really, I was the fucking, you know, Joaquin Phoenix as Joker in the tech suit meme, where it's just like taking the L, where I'm like, I just bought a fucking, okay, whatever. Because at this point, I do not know how this is any different than any, like, it's like, okay, they got night mode, they got a wide lens. I know if you're gaming, the gamers are turned the fuck up, like DJ Daniel. I know he was all over that League of Legends shit, and he was like, oh, now I can get
which one do you have now?
I have a
you have the 11?
I have 11 Pro Max.
I got, I'm rocking the 8. I still got a button online.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm way back, way back. I'm starting to notice like some compatibility issues. I'm noticing like weird things happening with the phone. I'm guessing they're probably going to start doing some, forced obsolescence shit with the 8. But so far, it served me pretty well. My wife has the more up-to-date ones. And anytime there's, like, an important moment happening with our kids, she, like, pushes me out of the way and takes the video herself because her camera's much better. This camera, like, that's always the thing that I try and pay attention to because the cameras are, like, the place that you always notice it. More than anything else. And so they're saying the pro models, which is like the, I think it's going to be biggest screen ever, probably also their most expensive phone ever. It's like the high end of the new batch that they're releasing. Pro models include a telephoto lens in addition to wide and ultra wide lenses, bigger camera sensors. It also has a LiDAR scanner, which I think is like a visual radar. That can create 3D scans of rooms with depth data that Apple says makes autofocus faster. So that just like, I don't know, reads as like heads up display style shit. Like that when a Terminator walks in the room and just immediately like scans it and knows like the coordinates.
Oh, God. It's like, anyways. Yeah, we've already mapped your home based on the photos you've taken. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they're apparently the pro is like, aimed more at serious photographers and videographers.
I'm a serious videographer. Now hand me my iPhone.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that movie Tangerine was shot on an iPhone, wasn't it? Yeah.
I mean, I understand people are making content on it, but like the idea that is somehow, like I get that it's prosumer facing and it feels good, but I guess... I mean, at this point, most people will buy it even if they don't consider themselves even like a professional. They should be like, is that the most expensive one with the best camera? Yes, that one.
Yeah, exactly.
The only time I would ever shoot, the only time I would ever shoot, like if I was shooting like a film or a short film with an iPhone, if that was kind of the gimmick.
Right.
Right.
You know, like, here's my short film. Oh, and it was also shot on an iPhone. Otherwise, I would never do that shit. I mean, that's fucking bananas, but I don't know. I don't know if I'll get the new one or not. I probably won't. I'm so tired of these phones.
What are you are you working with right now?
I have the 10.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. So it's older, but before that I had the 6. So I went from like 6. I skipped so many years, and finally it was because of the forced obsolescence. Like that, I think it's a real thing that they're going to do. That they do.
Yeah.
And so I just had to get the new phone, so I got it. But I was looking at this other phone called the Palm. Have you heard about the new Palm phone?
Mm-mm. Like from like the Palm Trio people, like who made the Trio?
I don't know if it's the same people, but they call it the Palm. But it's tiny. It's like this big.
Wow.
And so the idea is that you're not going to go surfing the web. You're not going to do all this, you know, time wasting on this tiny phone.
Oh, gotcha.
But you can still do. So you could still use your email and all that stuff and texting, which is kind of what I wanted. But I just, you know.
Just text, no like pictures and shit?
There's a camera on there too, okay, with pictures and whatnot.
Just get that razor. You know what I mean? They got the razor. That's back out.
But it's got a whole thing too, man. Like you open it up, it's like an iPhone.
That's right. Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like, yes, the razor, and it's of an iPhone. Fuck, you know.
It would be great if, like 20 years from now, like people look back on the period where like you walk into a restaurant and everybody's looking down at their phone as like a weird historical anomaly that like we like can't believe ever happened.
Right.
That would be my hope for humanity.
Maybe like people went to restaurants. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
They're like people looked people walked around facing up.
Right.
Huh. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Just have that.
People walked.
You know.
Yeah.
Wally universe.
Just people.
I could see Postmates doing like Postmates Gold or Postmates Fancy, where you can order it. It's like Postmates, but then you can order like the Fancy or the Gold option, and they show up to the house and they serve it to you.
Right.
And
they sit you down. The waiter's there. Just shows up.
Jesus. Yeah. That's
that'd be hilarious.
Actually, if anyone's got some venture capital money, hit us up.
Right. I got a lot of ideas.
Then I also wanted to mention that cops, you know, earlier in the year, because of the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, movements across the country that were pointing out just the injustices around policing in America, Cops was canceled by the Paramount Network.
Right.
And that it has quietly been uncanceled with regards to foreign distribution. So distribution in any non-American market, they're still going to be making it. And then who knows like how it's going to be distributed in the U.S. I'm sure they'll find U.S. channels.
They're like, well, if you get BBC America, then you get Cops.
Right.
Like, wait, what? I don't know. I mean, yeah, now it's just like, oh, but we're still in the market of exporting copaganda.
Right.
If you're interested in that for your burgeoning authoritarian state where you want the police to walk around like militarized goons. So,
yeah.
Cool. But
yeah,
it's just sort of like, we cancel, but it's just for international. It's just for international. We know it's illegal here, okay? We know this is totally illegal and not cool to do here, but just cross the border. It's for Canada.
Yeah. And it also,
I think
same company, so it's still like, you know, that gesture was just kind of performative wokeness.
No, performative gestures in such a critical moment regarding the civil rights of Black people and other minorities. God damn it. What
PepsiCo,
is this place?
Who made a big deal about retiring Aunt Jemima. And, of course, the right made a huge deal about it because
right. You know,
they love to have stories like that where they can be like, come on, what's next? According to one executive, they still haven't actually retired Aunt Jemima. According to one executive, it's because, get ready to feel queasy, during these trying pandemic times, customers are still looking for the Aunt Jemima products they know and love. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So rather than using the terrible trope of Aunt Jemima, we've rebranded to Mammy's Pancakes.
Right.
It's like, oh no, they're doubling down. It's of course. Of course, it's in the end, it's like any company is like, look, we would sever ties with the racist tumor of our business, but it's part of our business and it generates money, and money is our God, not fairness. So sorry.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the reality that people just have to kind of, you know, money money pretty much guides. I mean, if it wasn't profitable for them, you know,
yeah,
they wouldn't be doing it. And the fact that I think the scary part to me is just that it's still continuously, even as bad as it is, it still continues to be profitable, meaning that there are people out there who are buying it and they're finding it viable enough to continue.
I wonder if they just said they called it fucking, they did a Lady Antebellum type rebrand and they called them right. AJ's Pancakes or Auntie J's. And right. It's just text. There's no face. Are people going to be like, where the fuck did it go? Where's right. the fuck? I guess I'm going to buy some other brand.
That's a really good idea.
Like what?
That's a really good idea.
Where what's actually. The psychology of the consumer that they're concerned about? Like in this thing, we're like in these times, people need their racist pancakes. Times.
I think it's people's like romantic connection with memory. That, you know, and it comes down to this thing where it's just like, oh, you're going to take this? Now, what else are you going to take? You take my
mom?
Take away my childhood? My mom? Yeah. Like, I could take away G.I. Joe for a lot of those guys right now. You know what I mean? And they would hate me for it. But that's, like, one of the most racist cartoons on the fucking planet. Right. Like, I know this as a brown person because I remember watching it as a kid, you know, and then there was, like, I remember every time we would play G.I. Joe, like, with my friends, I could only be Cobra, only because Cobra had this thing where they remember that where they go Cobra, la 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 la. Yeah, remember that? Right.
Oh wow!
And I thought about it and I was like, oh, that's supposed to be us.
Wow!
Right, you know right, what I mean? Right, like, right.
There and Cobra's base was always in the desert, mm-hmm. and it was like it was clearly like this programming.
Cobra,
of like,
famously American snake.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right, right. It was just it was like this. But it bothered me, and I remember like feeling so sad as a kid because I did like G.I. Joe,
right?
You know what I mean? But I didn't want to feel like I was always going to be painted as the enemy. So, but that I mean, there's just a shit ton of that stuff.
Yeah,
shit ton of that stuff from back in the day.
I think what their research is probably telling them, you know, and their research being listening to the beginning of this episode of this podcast, that people are, you know, drawn and especially during these trying times,
mm-hmm.
people are drawn to, you know, nostalgia. There's a General Mills thing that's happening that we talked about in a recent episode where they are going back to original recipe breakfast cereal on like all their on Golden Grahams and Cocoa Puffs and all these things that we didn't know they had changed the recipe on. But just being like, it's going to taste like childhood was
Don't
enough
worry.
To...
It's
going to
taste like your parents are together, but that part where they were fighting a bunch and about to get divorced.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds good to me. Yeah. Like I think I'd be right. Like, I haven't touched breakfast cereal in a long time, but that made me feel like, oh man, I think I'm going to try that.
If Donald Trump was smart. He would campaign on that. He's like, we're going to make it feel like back when, remember your parents were together? Remember that shit? Yeah,
that
baby.
Cereal.
It's gonna be like that. You didn't even worry about shit, did you? Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, in these trying times, you know, as Black Americans struggle for equality, we want our customers to retreat to the safe harbors of the antebellum South and chattel slavery.
Right. Yeah, they're demanding that the market basically regulate itself, which has never ever worked.
I mean, memories, I guess retro Jordans too. That's kind of profiting off memories.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've been regressing though. So I was ready for it all. I've been, it's been 1996 in my mind for many years.
Hell yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm going to go put the Fugees, the score on right now.
Oh, great album. Aristotle.
It has
been wonderful having you, man. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh God! I have an Instagram. It's Aristotle, so it's Air like Nike Air.
Hell yeah!
_, and then Stottle. So I'm on Instagram there, and then just my last name on Twitter, which is Athir at Athiris @Athiris. Other than that, I mean, I have like I think I have a LinkedIn. I have
where we can see all your jobs.
If you guys want to come, find me on LinkedIn. Find me on Friendster. Find me on Let's see what else I got.
Hell yeah.
Live journal.
Live journal. You can find me on Gas Buddy. I have an account on Gas Buddy. Right. So like when I go see gas,
I love
it's cheap.
Gas Buddy. Yeah.
Waze. Find me on Gas Buddy. Yeah,
cool.
Find me on Waze. Yeah, Waze and Gas Buddy. Probably where you're gonna. I'll respond the most.
Hey, wave at me on Waze. You know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
And is there all right, guys, a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I think Twitter is a little evil. I've been trying to, like, it's just really hard, you know. Like, I remember I thought about it, and I just, like, I haven't been on Twitter in so long because I just think it's so toxic.
Good. Yeah. Great. Wonderful.
I mean,
please take care.
It's good. It's got some. There's some good things, but there's some, you know, there's some kind of, like, you know, just kind of toxic things too. But it's just hard, you know. I don't like being like that, where I don't want to look at what's going on because it's getting too much. But this is the worst year I've ever had in my life. Yeah. So, anyways.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Let's see. You can find me Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. That's a gray with an A, not an E. See, a lot of people who spell my name wrong in a tweet, but then get my handle right. You know, please put some respect on my name. And then also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, you know, just talking about 90 Day Fiance. If you want to avoid the cruel world and enjoy the cruel production of 90 Day Fiance, hop on that podcast, also on iHeartRadio. Okay, let's see. A tweet that I like. Yes, no, this one is from at Bronzehammer about Amy Coney or Army Carmy Barnett or whatever the Supreme Court Justice
is. You got it. There you go.
The quote was, this tweet is, she wasn't my first choice either, but we need to confirm Amy Coney Barrett now. And once she's sworn in, then we can push her left.
Nailed him. Boom. Derek.
What about you, Jack?
Derek tweeted, if I was Bruce Wayne, I would pretend to have a shellfish allergy. Then as Batman, I would get photographed eating a plate of shrimp. Blaine Capetch tweeted, washing my 7-year-old's clothes in spaghetti sauce to save time. And PJ Evans tweeted a picture of the Amityville Horror House. And it's got, like, just really subdued and kind of whack Halloween decorations up. And it says, the Amityville Horror House, where 6 people were murdered, feels the need to decorate for Halloween. that kind of blew my mind.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's funny.
And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
This is another one. It's only going to be on SoundCloud, folks, but it's worth it. if you like Kendrick Lamar, if you like a little backseat freestyle, if you like a little Burt Bacharach, all mashed together, and you want some horns, some brass, and Compton Kenny, this is the track for you. I just love good remixes that, like, you know, honor the original track well enough to, like, oh, this is just a trash remix. Like, this one is like, you're giving me something new on top of lyrics I already love. And this is a remix. This is called Backseat Bacharach by Wes Wax. So you can get this shit on SoundCloud and put it all in your fucking ears and blow the fucking doors off your Honda.
I do love a remix that is clearly based on the name being, like, a fit, but also they just make it work.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.